On Kevin's door.
There you go.
I'd like to call the Legislative Council meeting to order. It's December 4th, 2015, and it's 2:05. And Pam, would you make the roll? Give the roll call, please.
Chair Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Herron.
Here.
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Coghill. Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Huggins.
Here.
Senator McKinnon. Senator Michicki.
Here.
Senator McGuire, Representative Chenault, Representative Hawker, Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Keto.
Here.
Representative Millett, Representative Newman, Representative Thompson. 8 members present.
Thank you. 8 members have a quorum, so we'll begin our meeting. It could be others arriving later. Let's first go to the approval of the agenda. Representative Herron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legis Council approve the agenda.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Are there any, is there any comment or any changes that anyone cares to make to the agenda? With no objection, the agenda is approved. Moving on to approval of the minutes, Representative Herron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council approve the minutes of the following meetings as presented: February 10, 2015, June 26, 2015, August 18, 2015, September 2, 2015, September 28, 2015.
Thank you. I'll object again for purposes of discussion. Any changes or additions to those minutes? If not, I remove my objection, and if there's no objection, then the minutes are approved as read. Moving on to the contract approvals. The first one is the Homer office space renewal. Representative Herron for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council approve the Homer office space lease renewal to Clayton and Joan Ellington in the amount of $59,580.60 for the time period November 1, 2015 through October 31, 2016.
Thank you, Representative Herron. I'll object again for purposes of discussion and call on Tina Strong, who I believe is on teleconference. Tina, are you with us? I think that was Tina, but I couldn't quite hear her.
I can speak to it if...
Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you loud and clear. Thank you, Tina, for being with us. Could you explain the issue of the Homer office space lease renewal?
Yes, for the record, this is Tina Strong, Procurement Officer for Legislative Affairs Agency. And Homer was approved a 3-year lease beginning November 1st, 2012 through October 31st, 2015. The lease has 5 1-year renewal options available, and we are seeking approval for the first renewal period of November 1st, 2015 through October 31st, 2016. And this is just a standard lease renewal approval, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Strong. Any questions of Tina?
This is Senator McKinnon online.
Yes, Senator McKinnon, glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am en route to you. I had a meeting that just finished at 2. Tina, could you tell me what the rental, I'm not in the chambers yet, so I don't know or don't have the paperwork with me for the rental rates there. How does the rental rate in Homer compare with other rental rates across the state?
The rental is, the monthly rental is $4,965.05. And they are comparable with the leases in Homer. I don't have a list with me right now, but we do check to make sure that they are comparable, and that one is.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, Tina, do we not have a square footage rental? And then my other question is, how many offices do we have in the square footage that's there in Homer?
Yes, we have, the office space is 2,936 square feet. Senator Gary Stevens and Representative Paul Seaton, along with the LIO, are all in, all have office space in Homer. And the square footage, we're paying $1.69 per square foot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Yes, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up on Senator McKinnon's comments, so I take it there's three people in the Homer office, and there's about 3,000 square feet. The only reason why I ask that is that I don't think you're there probably too much of the time. So we probably only have a couple people in this office space. And I'm just, you know, in looking at office space all over the state for our LIOs, I'm wondering if we can consolidate or cut back a little bit.
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe just to address the specific issue of who's there. We have an LIO officer who's there during session. Representative Seaton has an office for himself there, as well as an office for his staff. I have an office for a staff member. I don't have an office for myself there. So when I go there, I just hang around in the lobby.
Okay. So if I may, Mr. Chairman, there's about three people there pretty much all the time except during session, and then four when you're there.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions of Ms. Strong? Senator Machiki. That was your office space, right?
It was my office space, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Just a question sort of on Tina. I don't know how much time you'd spend on this particular subject, but what would you say is the average, and you may not be able to answer this today, but what is the average cost per legislative office space per square foot across the state? I think that's something worthy of understanding. So I'm not talking about essentially the LIO space. That's a public space that's used, I know, in Homer and Kenai is used often, very actively. I'm sort of more thinking about the legislative office space itself.
Thank you, Senator Machiki. Pam, are you going to respond to that, or will Tina? Okay, Tina, please go ahead.
Through the chair, Senator Machiki, I do have the office space lease agreements in front of me, and we're paying anywhere from $5.18 in barrow per square foot all the way down to, let's see, we got $1.69 in Homer. We're paying $1.63 per square foot in Ketchikan. So not including Anchorage, anywhere from $5.18 all the way down to $1.63 per square foot for office space.
Okay.
Thank you, Tina. Senator Machiki.
Yeah, I certainly believe the Homer per square foot office space cost is reasonable. But, you know, we don't need it today, but I'd be interested in knowing that number. I mean, just so we have some sort of a model about what legislative office space averages across the state. Thank you.
Very good. Yeah, we'll take that into consideration and certainly try to make that material available to you, Senator. Any further discussion? Any further comments on the Homer office space?
Senator Stevens,
yes, Senator McKinnon, I believe you were on. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, someone else was trying to get in, so I'll hold until after they speak.
Okay, was there someone else? Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is Speaker Chenault.
Mr. Speaker, glad to have you with us.
I'm online.
Say again?
No questions. No questions. Just wanted to make sure you knew I was online.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being with us. I believe also Senator Egan is online, Representative Gutenberg. Of course, Senator McKinnon, but who will shortly be here. Peter Sharef is with us, and also Serena Carlson, our attorney. Devin Mitchell and Chuck Barnum are also all with us. Anybody else comes online, just let me know. Okay, if there's no further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator McKinnon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Senator McKinnon, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to Senator Machiki's request, just because of the tough times that Alaska is facing, it would be nice to have a look at the space standards that are spread across the street And Senator Machicki's request will get us there, but there are several components to that. One would be what is the space that is being allocated to legislative offices throughout the state? And then the second is the cost per square foot, which would then give us the final number that Senator Machicki is looking for, and that is how much utilization per member are we doing on space to stand up offices in different communities to support our constituents.
Well, thank you, Senator. And
if we could have that together, thank you.
So you're asking for a comprehensive every community, all the LIOs, I believe, and Pam, is that something we can get together?
Yes, we can do that right away.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Any further comments or discussion? Roll call, please, on the motion to approve the Homer office space.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Herron.
Yes.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Kito.
Yes.
10 yeas, no nays.
Thank you. Moving on then to the teleconference bridge system. Again, Representative Herron, if you give us a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council award ITB 612 to the low bidder, Aero Systems Integration, in the amount of $84,154.57 for the legislature's new teleconference bridge, which includes installation costs.
Thank you, Representative Herron. I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ask Sue Cotter to come forward to explain this issue of the teleconference bridge system and answer any questions. Ms. Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Sue Cotter, manager of the Information and Teleconference Network. We were informed about a little over 2 months ago that the manufacturer of our present bridge will no longer support the hardware and software for the system. And as you all understand, the bridging service is mission critical to participation by citizens around the state in your committee meetings. We went out to bid, worked with Tina Strong and my media services staff. We got three bids in. The lowest was Aero Technology, and it takes care of all of our needs and actually gives us some extra bells and whistles that we like. I think the packet covers, you know, everything that I have just said, plus some, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. I also have Tim Powers on the line if there's any technical questions that I can't answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Questions of Sue Cotter.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Representative Kito.
Thank you, Ms. Cotter. You mentioned extra bells and whistles. Do you have a quick explanation of some of the other things that we might be able to get out of this contract?
Through the chair, Representative Kito, one of the things that it is going to be able to allow us to do is put people into meetings faster. It also will pre-identify folks who are frequent callers, like commissioners or executive branch staff, our legal services staff. They will no longer need to, you know, spell their names and identify themselves. It would pop up on the screen, which would save us a lot of time putting people into the meetings. There are times that we have up to seven meetings happening at one time, and we'll have two or three bridge operators answering the phone, and it takes up a lot of time to ask them, you know, their name, their spelling, the affiliation, that sort of thing. So that's one example.
Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Roll call, please, on the motion.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Herron.
Yes.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Kito.
Yes.
10 yeas, no nays.
Thank you. Well, let's move on then to other committee business and the big issue of the decade or of the day for Ledge Council, of course, is the Anchorage LIO. Just a couple of comments. Of course, We have been dealing with a fiscal crisis here in the state. We all know that. We've all dealt with it in our various committees and in our budgets. This last year, we dealt with several cuts in legislative affairs and lost personnel and made other major changes throughout the system. We know that there will be also significant reductions, assuming reductions coming forward this next legislative session. So I think we're all aware that we're trying to find ways to reduce the budget and cut our costs and do our job as inexpensively as we can. I should point out, and I'm sure it's not it's known by everyone here, that what we are doing as a legislative council is making recommendations to the Senate and the House and along the way to the finance committees in both the Senate and the House. We are not able to pass a budget. This is not our job. Our job is to pass on our recommendations. So please keep that in mind. This is simply a recommendation to the rest of the legislature on what we think should be done. As I reflect on my experience on Ledge Council, this is the 10th year I've been involved, or actually 9th year, coming up on the 10th year in Legislative Council. And the issue, I think, on the Anchorage LIO has always been one that we have never really answered, and is that do we want to own the LIO or do we want to lease the LIO? That's the very foundational and fundamental question that we've dealt with, or not dealt with, frankly, over the years. I remember when Senator Cowdery was chairman of Ledge Council, we were talking about the possibility of a building and combining it with the court system on property that the state has. And I know Senator Cowdery is quite frustrated in his attempts to move us ahead on that legislative building. And, of course, that did not happen 10 years ago. Of course, Representative Harris, as the next chairman of Ledge Council, found himself in the same position, and then Senator Menard was working hard to have us move into the NANA building, which, because we took too long to make a decision, we lost out on that building. And then, of course, Representative Hawker, in dealing with this issue the last 2 years, found himself in a real frustration trying to come to a conclusion, of course, myself. So that's a total of 10 years that I know of, and I really hope that we can move ahead and make that very foundational decision. Do we want to own or do we want to lease? We're going to present to you today several options on where we might go. We've spent a lot of time, and you've spent a lot of time in dealing with this. There are five options out there. We're going to have them explained in detail. Are there other options? Certainly. And we make no attempt to say that these are the only options available to us in the financing package. I'm sure there are lots of ways we can finance it, should we choose to. So there are other issues that might be discussed other than these five. I will ask that we present those five to you, discuss them in as much detail as you care to hear, and then I would ask us to go into an executive session for confidential information. Ask Pam Varney and Doug Gardner at this point to come forward, if you would please, to the table and to explain these five different scenarios and to answer any questions that people may have. And also online, so you're aware of it, to answer questions about financing, options available to us in financing, about legal issues, will be Devin Mitchell, Department of Revenue, Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, and Serena Carlson from Stoll Reeves, who has been negotiating for us on the cost and the price of the building. And then, of course, Tansy Mintz will also be with us, unless she's in the room. Oh, there she is. Hi, Tansy. Tansy is here to help us, Department of Administration, right? She'll be here to answer questions as well. Ms. Varney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pam Varney, Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. And beside me is Doug Gardner, our Director of Legal Services. I'd like to go over the Chairman's report. And at the April 13th, 2015 Legislative Council meeting, the chair was to analyze options for legislative office space in Anchorage and report back to the full council on three items. One was purchasing 716 West 4th building and land. The second one was to request bonding costs from Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to purchase 716 West 4th Avenue. And the third was to evaluate state-owned office space. I'd like to let the council members know that negotiations have been ongoing over the interim between the managing owner of 716 West 4th Avenue, Mark Pfeffer, his attorney, Don McClintock, with Ashburn and Mason, Serena Carlson, our outside real estate attorney, with Stoll Reeves, myself, the council chair, staff, Katrina Matheny, and Doug Gardner, our director of legal services. And Serena Carlson is our expert that has been doing the negotiating with Don McClintock and Mark Pfeffer, and she is online to answer questions. We started out with several scenarios that was to look at continuing our current lease, also to look at purchasing through Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and Mark Pfeffer suggested that we also look at certificates of participation, and so that one was added, and also to look at a cash purchase through the capital budget, and the fifth scenario was to look at moving to state-owned space at the Atwood Building. And I'd like to go through those scenarios, and as I go through them, in case any of the members have any questions, please let me know.
Excuse me, Pam, do we have copies of this available to the members of the audience? You have it? And we have plenty back there, Katrina? Okay. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So scenario number one is to continue our current lease at 716 West 4th Avenue. The action required is that the legislature needs to fully fund the legislature's state facilities rent component every year for the remainder of our 10-year lease. The reason we are looking at a 10-year scenario, we did run the numbers for 20-year, and I'd be glad to let the members know what those figures are, but our real estate attorney suggested that we look at 10 years because that is what our obligation is with 716 West 4th Avenue, is our 10-year lease. So this graph and all the other scenarios do not show any inflation figures, just to let you know. But naturally, as time goes on, our operating expenses, you know, could go up or could go down. So this graph shows what our lease amount is yearly, the $3,379,656. Our operating expenses, we have budgeted for $652,344 for a total annual cost of $4,032,000. And that 10-year cost is a total of $40,320,000, and the total monthly cost per usable square foot is $7.41. And I'd be glad to answer any questions on that scenario.
Senator McCheggy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The building total square footage at this location is 64,000 square feet, is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, it is 64,000 is gross, but all of our leases throughout the state and also for the executive branch are on usable. And so these calculations are based on usable square footage, and that total is 45,371 square feet, and we have a total of 86 parking spots.
Let me follow up. I asked that question because you gave a over 4,000 square foot number for the Homer LIO.
I believe it was 2,900 square feet? And I don't have that in front of me. But that is usable square feet. It is not gross.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I when I think about the office space that is used in Homer, there's a very large common area Just when I compare that to here, it just seems like you would use more of the common space in a calculation. Where is the other 20,000 square foot? Where is it not usable in this building? Just so I can understand that differentiation.
It is looking at the penthouse. It is looking at all of the elevators, the restrooms, every square inch of the building.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, it's just if you're using the space and the space is necessary in order to access the building or do the things that humans do every day at work, it's just interesting. You wouldn't lease another building or piece of property anywhere else without considering that usable space. I'm just wondering why the state chooses to go, or why LIA chooses to use that number as the way to determine usable space.
Well, maybe, Tansy, would you like to come up and...
So we're sort of looking for a definition of what is usable versus what is gross. Is that, Senator McGee? Yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Tansy Mitz. I'm with the Department of Administration, Division of General Services. I'm their state leasing facilities manager.
And will you speak into the microphone so I can hear you? Thank you.
Did I need to repeat it?
No, I think we got that. Right. Thanks.
So through the chair, there's three different methods for in the industry for renting space. There's usable, rentable, and gross. And Pam Varney was correct that both the state executive branch and LIO use usable. And that signifies the space that you physically operate within. So it's within the demised walls. It does not include the mechanical rooms, the stairwells, the main lobby areas. It's strictly the space that your suite is in, your office suite is in. The gross square foot would include, I think like this building, the 60,000 square foot number is everything. So within our branch, and I believe yours, we just use usable for all of our leases. We have 450 of them statewide. Even if it's a full building.
Mr. Chairman, I'll wrap it up. It's an interesting metric to use when leasing commercial space. You simply can't magically eliminate the other spaces that serve a building. And I don't believe we do that in the other LIOs as well. When I think about the common space in those locations, the only thing I'm getting to is I believe the number of usable space in this building, if you were someone else coming to lease the, I can't remember the address, 716 West 4th Avenue, you would include that other space in the lease cost, just like you would any other commercial space. So I don't know that it's a fair comparison per square footage as we try to process this decision. We can't eliminate those common spaces. You simply can't use the building without those common spaces. So I just, when we talked about our comparison that I'd like to know later, Mr. Chairman, my request will be expanded to understand the separation between the total space that we are occupying versus how we're determining usable space in those locations as well. Across the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And while we have the department here, I'd like to ask some questions of the Atwood building, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly. Go ahead.
So how much – I'm trying to remember. I've been on Ledge Council off and on over this 10-year period, as Senator Stevens mentioned. And I'm trying to figure out how we ended up where we're at today, and I think we were up against a deadline, and there really wasn't any other space available downtown that could house as many people or as much space as we needed. And I think all government offices try to stay downtown whenever possible. At that time, the Atwood building wasn't available. And I think the plan was to try to consolidate all the office space we have for our state employees throughout the city. And I asked how many leases are expiring on some of the office space that we're leasing throughout the city, and there's a lot expiring in 2016. And so I'm wondering how much space is available today and how much will be available at the end of 2016 if indeed we continue with the consolidation of our employees in our office space.
Through the chair, Senator Myers, as it relates to how much space is available in the Atwood building currently, we currently have a vacancy of 23,000 usable square feet.
23,000?
23,000.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
What's our square footage here?
It's 64,000.
45,371 usable square feet.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, so there's 23,000 square feet
available in the Atwood building now. It would be the intention for us to identify another full floor for LIO to occupy, bringing you to approximately the total that you would need.
So, Mr. Chairman, would we have to move some folks out in order to accommodate us, and would there still be room then to do the consolidation of I have, if I may, Mr. Chairman, it looks like the Hess group, I'm not sure where they're located, but they have a lease that expires January 31st, public safety, DOT, DMVA, law, et cetera. There's quite a bit of space, office space, that we're leasing throughout the city. In fact, do you have that number?
I do. I was the one that prepared it for you. Let me just see if I have my fingers on it.
Okay.
And maybe if I could add to it, Senator, it'd be interesting to know the rate we're paying for those spaces outside of the Atwood too.
So I have, through the chair, Senator Myers, I do have the document that I provided, our department administration provided to you. I can provide copies as requested. We do have quite a few leases that are expiring. A lot of them have options, which you would normally renew because it's at the same rate. The ones that do not have options, we would look at to see if their mission is just, if they could stay there, could we downsize? We look at them individually on a case-by-case basis to see if it still meets the mission of the agency. We do have some agencies that we would move into the Atwood building if LIO decides not to move in, but we've been temporarily on hold looking at that alternative until LIO makes a decision.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I think it would be good if all the members could see, because I'm just kind of eyeballing what's expiring in 2016, and it looks like it's well over 200,000 square feet, which if we did do a consolidation of and start bringing some of these employees in and try to, you know, cut costs by not having to lease that space anymore. I don't even think we have enough space to do that. And then if you add us, somebody would still have to lease space outside. But you're right. We need to look at the numbers. I think the chairman's right. I mean, if we have some of these leases are fairly cheap. Is the Atwood building, is that $2 a square foot? Did we figure?
No, sir. I believe it's $1.50 a square foot for this. It's done. We renew the lease rate every year. It's reanalyzed based on our previous operating expenses. And for FY16, I believe our lease rate is $1.50.
Okay.
That's full service. That includes all your utilities, maintenance and operations, parking, security, building management.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that's something we should look at. Like, I see DEC here has 45,000 square feet at $2.34, and the Hess at $1.98, and DOT at $2.07. Now, granted, that's still a lot cheaper than what we're paying here. So, But I think it's something worth looking at and making a comparison so that we can see how much where we can maximize the savings to the state.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can we get a copy of that to everyone? I do have a question of you, Tansy. And this is something I've heard. I don't know if it's true. Are there agencies in Anchorage who would not want to move into the Atwood or who would not be welcomed into the Atwood by the other tenants?
Through the chair, or Senator Stevens, we when we look at bringing who should be in the Atwood building, we look at the mission of the agency and their relationship with the executive branch, with the governor's office, just because of the proximity. It is a Class A office building, so we want to bring agencies in where it's a good fit. The one that you mentioned, Senator Myers, at Huffman Business Park DOT, that's their weight and measures office area where they have other labs. So that would not be a good fit. Mm-hmm. OCS, just because of the amount of traffic that they have into that building, that would not be a good fit. So we do look at them one by one to see which would be a good relationship to be co-located with other tenants that are in the building.
And would you say then that the legislature would be a good fit?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Did you have a question, Representative? Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, since we're on the Atwood, if this option is executed, when could the legislature move into the Atwood?
Through the chair, we've been speaking with Pam, and I would say within 1.5 to 2 years, we would need to make a full floor available for you to do the remodel. So I would say 1.5 to 2 years.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And we'll get into much more detail when we get to that particular chart, too, about the Atwood. But a good time to talk about it as well. Senator Machiki.
Just want to make sure before the 153 price is picked up and carried too much further that our cost for the Atwood would be about $490 a square foot with all in. So just to make sure we're doing an apples-to-apples comparison, I think that's fairly important.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Through the chair, Senator Machiki, that is correct. Although we've already paid the 7.5 tenant improvements here, the total actually would be $2.82 a square foot if you just are looking at our cost for the Atwood and the tenant improvements for the Atwood, not looking at what we paid for the tenant improvements here.
Mr. Chairman, if we're going to look at it that way, we should take the 7.5 out of all the comparisons.
And that, Mr. if I can, through the chair, Senator Machiki, that is why I put that down there, Okay. Because I was not trying to hide that.
Sure, I understand. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker?
And Mr. Chairman, while we're asking for information, could we ask to get a list of buildings that are owned by the state of Alaska in Anchorage, such as DOT or any other buildings that are owned by the state?
Tansy, are there many other buildings owned by the state in Anchorage?
Chair, we do have quite a few more other buildings as far as office buildings. There's not a large quantity that are owned by the state. We have the crime lab, the troopers. UAA has a few office buildings. I believe Mental Health Land Trust Office has a few office buildings. The DOT complex on Tudor. But as far as large-scale office buildings, there are not very many of them. But we can provide, I can work with Pam and provide a list of those.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator McKinnon.
If I could follow up on the request that Speaker Chenault just requested. The utilization of that space has been a factor under consideration by the previous administration and I believe by this administration looking at design standards for all of us. And that's why I was asking the question about the Homer LIO on when I was online. And so I'm wondering, I think about the DOT facility out by the airport, and I'd like to know how many employees are actually utilizing that square footage so that we can see if the best use is happening for each of the facilities. I mean, I certainly think the people of Alaska are interested in how we're utilizing space everywhere, not only in the Anchorage LIO, but how we're looking at square footage and how it's utilized throughout the state. And it's my understanding that some of that space is pretty sprawling now. And in these tough times, I do think that consolidation of some of the lease space is something that we should consider and do. And I would like an update, too, not necessarily for this committee, but possibly on the space standards study that this administration set aside. So we were and we did have planned use of all 20,000 square foot that's currently sitting vacant and has sat vacant for over 9 months. In fact, I think it's been closer to a year that the Atwood building has foregone revenue, and I'm not sure why. I understand that we have an issue at this particular facility that we're trying to work through, but there were opportunities in last year's cycle to move additional agencies over into that square footage, too, and not have it sit vacant. So the utilization, I know the administration is looking at that, and I'd just like to understand more so that when we're evaluating, as Senator Michicki referred to it, apples to apples instead of apples to oranges.
Thank you, Senator. A very appropriate question in these hard times. Speaking about the Atwood, the top floor, I understand, was a firm of attorneys that have since vacated, and I believe that's true. So that entire floor was leased to an outside agent, not an agency of the state, an outside business.
Mr. Chair, the top floor of the Atwood building, the 19th floor, was the Alaska Bar Association. They moved out, and we've been using it as we've done during the previous administration. We were doing the space standards, and we were using it as a temporary space. We could move those agencies out, complete their remodels, consolidate, and then we've moved them back in. So we have been using the vacant space for those temporary means during the consolidation and the space standards over the past few years.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator.
I had an opportunity on several occasions last year to walk through some of the Atwood building, and the vacancy in the cubicles there is, or at least it was at that particular time, huge. Huge. So I understand that there's movement going on, and I look forward to the space standard studies so that we can see what's happening. And I appreciate this particular document that I'm holding up that says Anchorage office lease is expiring. I'm wondering if we should look at our lease space, though, across the state in its entirety for same purpose. What do we have? How are we utilizing it? Could it be placed in the hands of the private sector? Could we consolidate resources together? I know that earlier this afternoon we talked about some expensive lease space up in Barrow. We understand those challenges in that market, but when I have traveled in past years to other parts of our state, I saw entire buildings vacated from the federal government because people couldn't afford to pay the rents that those communities were asking for those facilities. So, and that was just one facility. It was a federal project. But it would be nice to know what is happening with our lease space, and maybe we should just request that from the Senate Finance Committee, that we're ready when we go into this next legislative session to have a review of the assets that we own from the administration, as well as the square footage that we're paying and any outstanding capital requests, something that's all-encompassing for how we're utilizing that space. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. I agree with you, and it's very appropriate that we do this. And walking through the Atwood Center, it was surprising how much empty space there is. But Tansy also took me through the other buildings that we have, the big buildings here. I don't remember the names of them, but the arched building down by the Captain Cook, White Archer's windows, and also the one down on more on the waterfront by the railroad, just a lot of space that is not being utilized because of the reduction that we see in staff. One thing I did want to pursue a little further is, again, there are agencies that either are not wanted in the Atwood because of the activity, or that would rather be in other places. And one I know of that I really would ask you to address is the Whale Building over here, right next to the courthouse. That is occupied by law, Department of Law, is that right? And is that a pretty substantial occupancy there?
Mr. Chair, yes, it is. That's the Department of Law. And they have the Attorney General's office is in the 1031 West 4th Avenue building, the Brady building, and then the District Attorney's office is in the Whale building. They don't occupy with the full building, but they have had a presence there for a long time. And the standard and the and within the executive branch is that any agency that does the business with the court system, if we try to stay within a three-block radius, just because of the amount of times they have to go back and forth to the courthouse. So that's the reason that they have always been located next to the Boney Courthouse and now the new courthouse.
And so I guess they would all prefer to be there rather than a few blocks away. Yeah,
correct.
Thank you. Mr. President, you had a question first, and we'll get back to you, Senator McKinnon.
Well, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things. First of all, of these leases that are expiring in 2016, and as I mentioned, there's a lot of them, and some of them are happening in January and February, and I don't know if that's going to be I don't know if you're going to have time, Senator McKinnon, as a finance committee to address some of these. Have you identified which groups, if any, that you do want to move into the Atwood building? And I guess the other question I would have, too, is that the Atwood building isn't that much farther away from the courthouse than the building that the chairman was mentioning. And it sounds like we do rent out the Atwood building to other law firms. So I guess maybe we should question whether or not they have to be that close, because I think – I don't have it in front of me, but I think that rent's pretty high there. But anyway, so what how much square footage have you identified as being able to move into the Atwood building of the leases that are going to expire in 2016?
Through the chair, we have identified – there's one specifically that will be expiring in May 31st of 2016, and it has 4 one-year renewal options. So we'd most likely exercise that one-year renewal option to give us time to build out the space and make the space ready for them. And the one we're currently looking at is DEC, but again, we're waiting to see if the space is going to be used by LIO or not. That's our largest lease that we would move in with one whole agency. And if they did, those that did not, the square footage that did not fit there, we would move over to the Bayview building where they have other DEC staff. And that was one that the chair and some of the other members, we walked through to see that vacancy and utilize that space that's not being used efficiently. As it relates to the legal firms in the Atwood building, all the private tenants have vacated the Atwood building, so there are no law firms in it now. And we do try to keep, just for the to complete their mission and to have everyone next to each other, we try to keep law together, district attorneys together, because they use so many shared resources.
I think, Mr. Chairman, so if you are successful in moving in the group, and I don't know, was that the admin group that you're referring to on May 31st?
DEC.
DEC, okay. So there's a lot in May for admin. What is that? What group is that?
Through the chair, if you look at item 5, lease 2401, that would be the one of the ones we're looking at.
Yes, thank you. But, Mr. Chairman, looking at my list, I see that there's several in admin that are also going to expire in May 31st, 2016. And I was just wondering what group within admin we couldn't or wouldn't want to move into the Atwood building. I mean, I don't know what their function is, so...
Is there one in specifically that you're looking at within admin, just so I know? Are you looking on the second page, page 15, the Bayview Commercial Building?
Well, actually, I have a different list that shows me which leases expire by which dates. And there is one for admin that's 44,773.
Through the chair, that's okay. DMV.
Okay.
So that would not be a good...
Okay.
And we do have already a small DMV location downtown.
Yep, that makes sense. Okay, so if I may, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please, Senator.
So DEC is a possibility, you said, and that's 45,000 square feet?
Currently, yes.
And how much did you tell me again? I thought I wrote it down. Is available currently?
Currently 23,000 square feet approximately, with the opportunity to consolidate through space efficiency, retain another 13,000 square feet. Each floor is about 12 to 13,000 square feet.
So if I may, Mr. Chair, and it would be a stretch to try to get all of DEC in.
And what didn't fit, we would move over to Bayview, where there have other DEC offices already there.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple questions, but I wanted to go back to the conversation about the Whale building. Did I hear you correctly that we own that building?
No, ma'am.
We lease there. And can you tell me the average square footage cost lease on that one? Mm-hmm. I don't have to have it now if you don't have it.
We can through the chair, it's approximately $3 a square foot, full service lease.
So we find ourselves in interesting times. Alaska has a revenue shortfall of $3 to $4 billion, and we need to do business differently. So I'll just put that on the table, that is the primary basis and the foundation for my comments. So I've heard this body and other bodies during three special sessions talk about we need to fulfill our commitments. We need to complete our contracts. We need to do the right thing for the people of Alaska. And so this is really wild, but we're closer than we're just as close to the Boney building or the Boney courthouse in this facility, and we have more utilization or at least square footage available in this facility if we wanted to bring other occupants into this building to do that. So I just put that out there. If we're short in trying to get our team together, that there's an opportunity to move things around and still fulfill commitments. And I'm wondering what kind of analysis we're doing to honor our contracts. If I could move on, though, I'm going in reverse order. I thought I heard you say that the administration is anticipating over at the Atwood building through space standards utilization the opportunity to save space of about 13,000 or one more floor. Is that accurate? I just want to make sure I heard it correctly, because that's what I wrote down.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And where would that utilization come from then? Which floor are you clearing to? I've been through DNR and saw how much space is there.
It would be the Department of Natural Resources, so we would need to work with them closely to see which floor would work best for them to
to consolidate to one floor, is that?
Consolidate to another floor, because they have approximately four or five floors.
I've seen some of the front area space. Thank you. Ms. Varney, I saw reporters' ears perk up when you used the word penthouse, or maybe that was just me almost falling out of my chair. So just for clarity, are you talking about the top floor of a building, or is there something I don't know about?
We tried not to tell you about the penthouse,
I can't break that ceiling. What can I say?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon. No, I'm the penthouse is referred to as the mechanical, it is
so
not
much
office space that is.
I just didn't want that tweeted out of this room already that somehow there's a penthouse.
But for space utilization, would be glad to move your office there if you. If you're interested.
I have worked in mechanical rooms before, Mr. Chairman. I could do it again.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Further question? Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this list, this is the 16 and 17. We're really talking 2 years to move in. Is there a way I could get the 18 expirations as well?
Through the chair, certainly. We can
and
provide that.
The Whale building, when does that expire? Mr. Chairman, I tell you, the simplest way would, if you could just, is there a list of all leased buildings?
Through the chair, yes, sir, there is, and it's on our website.
Okay.
But we can provide you a consolidated list, that, like we provided to Senator Myers, if that would be helpful, through 2018.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chairman.
Further comments? Yes, Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got one thought and then a comment. I guess what I'm thinking is when we look at this list of lease spaces that are expiring, I don't see any of that space that exceeds $2.70 a square foot. 20,000 square feet or 20, 30,000 square feet of our utilization is going to save the state of Alaska, because we're part of the state of Alaska, a significant amount of money if we were able to go in to the Atwood building versus having another state agency move into the Atwood building. There's just, I mean, at this point, to me, there's not a comparison because we are paying so much more. But my question really is with regard to the Atwood building. My understanding is the rates based on, is it based on the tenants that are using, so it's based on the actual costs. So if there are more tenants in the facility, then the lease rate actually goes down. So I guess, or is that not correct?
Through the chair, no, sir. It's based on the actual operating expenses and projected operating expenses based from historical the year before. And each agency pays the same rate for the public building fund program that was established in 2000. So no matter if there's two-thirds full and one-third vacancy, everyone still pays the same rate. And we have a small fund that pays the vacant portion of the space until it's fulfilled.
Okay. So it's the same rate as if it were full, and then the fuller it gets, the less you utilize the vacancy fund?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So we started on scenario number one, which is continuing the current lease, and we've gotten off, of course, on the issue of moving to the Atwood, and that's perfectly all right. That's a good discussion. Since we are talking about the Atwood, and we will get to there eventually, can you tell us about where can we expect the cost to go in the Atwood? Will they continue to rise? Now we own the building. Is that true? The state owns the building, owes no money on it.
Mr. Chair, yes, the state does own the building. AHFC holds the master lease. In 2017, the lease will be paid in its entirety, and it will revert strictly to the Department of Administration. And the cost last year was $1.56 a square foot. And through the times that we're in right now, we did as much as we could to bring the costs down, looked at our service contracts, renegotiated, which brings us to a less expensive rate this coming fiscal year. So we'll continue to do that.
Thank you. A small point, but an issue that I know our Senate President dealt with when he was on the Borough Assembly here. The Atwood building, owned by the state, pays no tax to the city. Right now, this building, owned by Mr. Pfeffer, pays us tax, but we pay that to the owner. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. We paid a total of $262,335, and that was for the assessed value of $17,845,982 for this building.
And so it's fair to say that whatever happens to this building, short of our buying it, if it stays in the public arena, the taxes would be collected on this building.
That is correct, Mr. Right. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Yes, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back as you've directed us to the scenario before us, scenario number one, on the continuing the current lease at 716 West 4th Avenue. I haven't heard any conversation about the flat rental rate. So it is, it looks like the proposal somehow built in a 10-year flat fee. And so I'm wondering on, as far as the cost benefit and the time value of money, how that structures out. So what I'm saying, if the general public is listening, is however this was negotiated, it looks like it's negotiated to hold the same. And there's value to that. The rent, you signed a 10-year lease, my rental rate's not going up. And we could have had the rental rate significantly less in the first year and escalate up over time at percentages. So I'd like to see the analysis, or have we done the analysis on the flat fee? I haven't done the analysis. I just see $4 million, that sounds like an incredibly large amount of money. $7.41 seems like price gouging to this legislator. But But then I have to take that second look and say, well, I'm still paying that same rate in 2025, and I don't know what the escalator looks on it after that, and I have a $7 million investment of the people's money that I'm trying to protect. So talk to me about the time value of money and the rental fee that stays flat, or the lease space, actually, to get it reported correctly, would be approximately $3.4 million.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, through our leases throughout the state, where we have a full service lease, and there's only a couple leases that are very small where we might do our own janitorial, but the rest of our leases include a full service lease. This is our only lease that is not a full service lease. And in some of the earlier drafts of the lease before it was finalized, there was a 3% per year escalation of this, but we are paying the utilities. And so when we do a full service lease throughout the state, the reason there is a CPI and there's a formula, and it does a certain percentage to give that landlord, when the cost of living goes up, that increase. Well, since we were paying the utilities, that did not make sense to give the landlord the, and I wasn't in on the negotiations, that was Representative Hawker, but this was stayed constant. And so that's why you see the 3 point almost 4 million a year without an escalation in there.
Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that answer, though that's not the question. It's not the answer to the question I asked. This is a flat fee, and I'll just use Juneau as an example. I've had the honor of serving Alaskans for 9 years. I'm going to go into my 10th session this year. And I started paying rent for $1,200, and now I pay rent at $1,750, and I've been told that that rent is going to escalate again. So there is property CPI. There is a escalation process for the lease space that you rent, and it's not apparent in this. And I am with the people of Alaska looking at that number saying that number is too big. But I haven't heard any discussion from a financial perspective to understand what the real cost of today's rent is versus paying it now and not paying it later. So somehow this lease was, it looks like it was based on the thought that the CPI would continue to go up, and that somehow someone is trying to protect us in the future because we're going to say that we're going to pay the same price later. If that doesn't work out pencil-wise, I just want to know. Because if I'm paying in 2016 $3.4 million for the lease amount, not the actual cost because it's not a full-service lease, and I'm still paying that in 2025, there is some security at least out in 2025 that we benefit from. And I don't know what that looks like based on this spreadsheet. It's not a trick question. I just want to see the numbers.
We have Serena Carlson on the line. Serena, is that something that you think you could answer for Senator McKinnon?
Yes, I can.
Serena, before you start, would you introduce yourself and the firm that you work for and your involvement in this issue?
Yes, my name is Serena Carlson. I'm a partner at Stoll Reeves, and I was retained by the legislative agency to work on both a lease negotiation and negotiation for the purchase of a building.
Thank you, Serena. And if you could answer the question.
I was not involved in the original lease, but I've looked at all of the documents, and what was done is an escalator was applied to the original number through year 10, and then the rent was averaged. So that is the reason that you do not see the lease amount changing over the 10-year period.
Thank you. Senator McKinnon?
Thank you. Serena, could you give the general public then the original lease number so that we know what was averaged? And that really still doesn't accomplish the math on the time value of money as far as front paying the amount. To do just simple mathematics like that, I'm not sure, thinking that's a negative impact.
I cannot answer the question of the time value of money, and I would have to go back to pull the original documentation when the lease was signed for the mathematics of how the number was derived. I don't know that off the top of my head because I didn't participate in the original lease negotiation.
Serena, I appreciate that. So you don't recall if it was $1 million or 1.5 at the in year one, escalating to 1.7 in year two, escalating to 1.9 in year three. And then those
As
numbers
I recall,
divided.
There was a conservative inflation factor added. I can't tell you the exact number, but it was somewhere in the 2 to 3% range. And then it was averaged over the 10 years.
Mr. Chairman, I just think it would be valuable for us to have that analysis. And I'm not trying to prolong that issue, but when you give the general public a flat fee of 10 years, it would have been nice to know some of the background so that we could understand the math. And we may be paying too much up front if the price on inflation is very low, or we could, if the inflation gets very high, it could be just the reverse. I mean, there's, in making a flat payment, you're taking somewhat of a risk over time that your CPI numbers are accurate. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for a question for Ms. Barney. When you mentioned our tax payments recently, you indicated an assessed value of what was that?
It was, through the chair, Representative Keto, it was an assessed value of $17,845,982.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so what would our purchase price for this building be?
Through the chair, Representative Keto, a letter was sent to Chairman Stevens from Mark Pfeffer, and he is asking $37 million. And then in addition to that, whatever the cost is for his prepayment penalty for his $28 million loan, and we're at this point we're estimating it to be about $950,000, but we wouldn't know that exact amount until we, you know, we're closing.
So the best guess at this point is $37,950,000.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just a follow-up comment. I was thinking if I bought a house and I put a bid on the house and it exceeded the assessed value of the house, I wouldn't be able to get a loan for that. And so I'm a little concerned that our sunk costs or our value in this building is much less than the building is worth, and that worries me.
Thank you, Representative Keto. Senator McCheggy? I'm sorry, do you have a comment? Or
I do. I have a comment, Mr. Chairman. The difference between assessed value and appraised value is a fairly significant difference, so I'm not sure we would I think if you asked any investor for any commercial building if they could purchase an investment for the assessed value, there would be lots of folks swarming to the table.
I did want to comment on a comment that Ms. Varney made, just to be clear. When we started putting together a comparison of all these five scenarios, we started with a 20-year basis, and that seemed to make sense. But as we moved along, actually, it was Serena Carlson who said, well, you know, the lease here is only 10 years, so to compare apples to apples, we really need to look at a 10-year for all five options. We could do a 20-year, and that's available to you, and we could do a 30-year because that could be what a mortgage is. I don't know. But you should be aware that that the reason we are at a 10-year comparison is so you will see a better evaluation of all five options. Any further questions? Senator McKinnon.
I just wanted to be clear, Mr. Chairman. On the assessed value, was that for 2015 then was the $17 million assessed value? And then do we know what it was before the building was repaired?
Yes, it was, I think it, right, I have to look through my papers, but I know that he got a reduced value through the city because of the HVAC. I believe it was under $2 million, but I'd have to look and see. I think it was around.
When you find that, could you just let us know? Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly don't have to have that today. I just was wondering so that we could see a history of what was being paid on assessed value.
Sure. Further questions? Senator McChicky.
Mr. Chairman, do you have the appraised value of this building just to sort of accentuate the difference between those two terms?
Yes, we. One of the first things we did when we were asked to begin this process was to do a real estate appraisal. And Ms. Barney, would you care to comment on what those appraisals came back at?
Mr. Chairman, I thought we were going to discuss that in executive session.
Exactly, you're exactly right. I'm sorry, Senator McChicky. That's something that we really need to be a little cautious of and make sure that that's handled in executive session and. If you don't mind, we'll deal with it there.
Mr. Chairman, I'm fine with that. We have a $17 million number out there. I think what you're going to find is that the appraised value is a significantly different number, likely in the ballpark of the purchase prices that we're talking about. I think it's an important difference for Alaskans to understand.
And we will get into that detail. Ms. Varney, further comments on that?
Mr. Chairman, it's totally up to you whether you want to, in public, have Serena Carlson talk about that. But it was discussed that we would do that in executive sessions.
So. I'd rather we hold that off. Doug Gardner, any reflection on that issue in public?
Thank you, Senator Stevens. We have some litigation going on right now. And the decisions that you're going to make may ultimately trigger some litigation. And so I think that I respect Senator McChicky's comment that that's an evaluation that needs to be addressed, looking at the appraisals. there are multiple appraisals. My recommendation to the chair would be for that discussion to be held in executive session so that you can understand the different appraisals that were done. One was done by me, commissioned by me, for purposes that are a little different than a purchase. I think that you ought to hear what all of those things are and then ultimately choose how you want to discuss those things in public. So you can make an informed decision. I know what the answers are down the road, and I'm just trying to make sure that there isn't some sort of bad litigation consequence. But there are a couple of appraisal numbers that I think ultimately counsel will likely choose to talk about in public. I'd just like you to hear from our counsel and get the legal piece first so that you can talk about that.
Yes, we will hear all that and decide if any of it should be made in public. If Senator McChicky?
I'm fine with that, Mr. Chair. Could I please ask you whether or not you feel that the appraised value of this building right now is irrelevant, and if you agree that if the appraised value, I'm sorry, the assessed value is irrelevant, and would you also somewhat agree that if the assessed value was the appraised value, that there would be lots of folks interested in buying this particular piece of property?
Senator McChicky, through the chair, I'm legal services director, not an appraiser, but we did retain an appraiser to help assist in this conversation who is online in Seattle from Kidder Matthews, and Peter Charette can answer all those questions. He's an MAI certified appraiser. I would tell you that I think there's a big difference between an assessed and an appraised value. I think that business deals are done based on appraised value. I will, though, I understand Representative Keto raised the assessed value issue. Assessed value is another number. It's a point on a continuum. But I think probably the focus is the appraised value piece. And so, but that information's all here. And it was my recommendation to the chair that we proceed in a way that you get it and then can talk about it later so that you understand what you have.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Senator McChicky. I'd shortly like to leave scenario number one and go to scenario number two. But before we do that, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was one of the legislators that advocated for the purchase of the Nana building and spoke from one of those seats, actually down in Juneau, trying to get this council to purchase the Nana building. Boy, that looks good right now.
Certainly does.
One of the things that happened when we started looking for additional lease space over a period of time, well, it actually happened when we had the argument where we were trying to allow more parking for the people of Anchorage in the downtown area. And constituents contacted my office and Senator Cowdery's office and many others, and the legislature went into a debate about sharing parking with the people and the city of Anchorage. And so we started receiving revenue. We went into a business agreement and basically ran the cost of our own lease space up by showing the owners of the property that there was parking that was underutilized in evening hours and that they could actually make more money on that property. And so my question is, and it was the assessed value conversation that made me think about it, was how is parking being handled now? I wasn't part of the original discussion on this process as we're going forward. We now have paid parking outside of our business hours. Do we share in any of that revenue, or is that just a portion of the lease that's happening? Because before, we were actually, I thought, receiving some benefit from opening up our parking to the people of Anchorage.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we do have a separate contract with ACDA.
And that is ACDA is.
It's Easy Park. It is an agreement, and we receive approximately $20,000 a year revenue. And I don't know if Jessica Geary is online, and maybe she could. Has the exact figure, but that is my recollection.
Thank you. Jesse, are you online? We'll get that number to you. Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, then, is that reflected as a reduction in the lease cost that we have in front of us for revenue?
Through the chair, no, it is not paid. That is not figured here. It's not paid to the landlord. It is probably would reduce our operating expenses. It isn't a documented revenue, so it just goes back in to the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, the only reason I raise it is, one, it's a revenue source that's not reflected here, and it's a negotiated fee. If the state actually didn't have Easy Park doing it and did it ourselves, there is a revenue generator that is vacant that could offset some of the costs, and that's how we negotiated originally, is we thought it would be additional income for the state. But $20,000 compared to $3.4 million, while it's huge in my books, it's not significant to move the percentages up or down or the square lease space. But I just was wondering what wasn't included as far as the revenues from that particular revenue stream that we identified. And, Mr. Chairman, that particular move caused our lease prices to go up when the owner recognized that there was profit to be made in the parking lot, too. So I just, again, it's not significant. I say publicly it's not significant. Big money to Anna McKinnon, but not necessarily to the lease costs that it's shared with. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Johnson, and then Mr. President.
Thank you. Kind of on that same line, didn't we rent parking spaces when this was being refurbished at like $600 a month?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, yes, I know there were parking expenses. I don't know what those exact costs were. Julie Lucky is probably in the audience and would be able to answer that question, but I don't know the exact figure.
And And maybe I can get a nod. It seemed like it was 600, 5 to 600 a month.
Ms. Lucky is being put on the spot, but maybe she can answer that. Julie Lucky.
For the record, this is Julie Lucky, staff to Representative Mike Hawker. I don't have the actual numbers on that. I could get it fairly quickly. I could run up to my office and grab that for you. It is my understanding, and I'll check with Ms. Varney, that was part of our negotiation was that the landlord would pay for the parking. So we didn't actually cut a check or see the numbers. I can tell you we had roughly I can give you the exact numbers. I would hate to just pull it out of the air. But we would basically send them a number of parking permits we needed per month. They would purchase the permits, and we would get them. So I could get an accounting of that, but there was no cost to us for the parking.
Yeah, and, Mr. Chairman, if I might, I wasn't talking about the cost to us. I'm just looking at the math, and it's $600. That's $28,000 a month just if we use the top half along with. So all of a sudden the $20,000 becomes a fairly big number if you multiply it, take half the parking spaces times the 6 times 12 is – $300,000+ that we could generate in revenue. So I just wanted to put that out there. Is if we're going to start talking numbers, we ought to include them all.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Representative. Mr. President?
Actually, my question would be for Julie, too.
Julie, don't run away.
Mr. Chairman, so Julie, Pam had mentioned that the current agreement that we have on this billing was negotiated by your boss or the previous Ledge Council chairman. But it seems to me that he had assistance through Alaska Housing to help him in determining what is a fair amount for the state. Is that true? I mean, we don't hear much about Alaska Housing and the advice that they gave us, and maybe you could shed some light on what advice – or I'm looking at Doug, what advice they did give or didn't.
And through the chair to Senator Meyer, I will be perfectly honest. I didn't do much with the negotiations, and I think that we did. One of the reasons was because AHFC was retained as the tenant representative, and I know that they did a substantial amount in the negotiations and also a substantial amount in determining the fair prices of the tenant improvements. I couldn't give you that many details on it because I was not involved in the day-to-day negotiations. However, I do know that they did the majority of working with our legal counsel and the landlord in coming up with the lease. And I think that Mr. Gardner might be in a better position to explain what their position was because I think he was more intimately involved in the negotiations.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. So if we're comfortable, can we move on from scenario number one to scenario number two? And we have, of course, discussed a lot of these issues as we pass through them. But scenario number two, unless, Ms. Varney, is there anything that we have not talked about? Anything that about scenario number one that you want to say that we have not fully discussed?
Well, I just received Doug did for me, a text. We did receive $26,200 in FY14 for our parking revenue.
Thank you, Ms. Varney. Thank you.
All right, going on to number two then?
Yes, please. And this is the purchase of this building with AHFC fixed rate bonds.
Correct. So what the action required for scenario number two to purchase having Alaska Housing Finance issue the bonds, the legislature would need to pass a standalone bill to enable Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to finance the purchase of this building. And we are looking at the issuance of the bonds with a 10-year maturity at a fixed rate of approximately 2.16%. I did receive the debt service interest costs and also the cost of bond issuance and administration from Mike Strand, who is the finance director of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And it is a total of $48,850,000. That is for the $37,950,000building purchase, the debt service interest total of $4,800,000, and that cost of the bond issuance and administration. And so our lease purchase yearly cost to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation would be $4,360,000, and then we have $525,000 that Legislative Affairs Agency would need for operating and maintenance expenses. We did have the operating expenses go down, and that would be because we would not, under this scenario or any of the scenarios, if we purchased the building, we would not be paying the insurance or the property taxes. We did add, since we would own this asset and be responsible for all ongoing maintenance and operating costs, add a one position for a building manager that would be able to manage this this building, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Varney. Before we go there, I neglected to say that I know we have several legislators who are not on Ledge Council who are either in the room or are online, and if you have questions, please feel free to raise your hand or let me know. So going again on scenario number two, are there any questions anyone has or points you'd like to bring up? Then maybe we can move on to scenario number three, which is a very similar with a variable rate certificate of participation. Ms. Varney.
Thank you. So scenario number three is purchasing 716 West 4th Avenue via the issuance of variable rate certificates of participation. The action required would be that the legislature would need to pass a standalone bill outlining the project, the cost, the annual payment, and total payments. And this information was obtained from Devin Mitchell. He is the debt manager with the Treasury Division with the Department of Revenue. And these figures show a flat rate interest of 0.6%, which is the current variable rate. And it's also likely that depending on there is a risk with the variable rate if interest rates rise, the state's credit quality diminishes, or there is a market dislocation that the interest rates will increase. But this was done at a at the one set the current variable rate. And the total is showing the purchase price of $37,950,000. The debt interest, the debt service interest rate total is $1,149,600. Our operating costs over the 10-year period, $5,250,000, with a total cost $44,614,600. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hardy. Yes, President Heron.
Mr. Chairman, the question is to you, is that both scenario two and three, I need to understand the advice from in-house and outside counsel why we only used a 10-year window, because if I was going to buy a new home, I couldn't afford to pay it off in 10 years. And so, Mr. Chairman, should we talk about that in executive session?
I don't think there's any reason why we can't talk about it here now. And I sort of explained why we came to a 10 years, but I understand the confusion. And
Senator Stevens and through the chair, Representative Heron, I mean, the idea was to try and look at, and since the legislature does an annual budget, to try and look at some examples of scenarios that look at a cash flow type of analysis so you'd know what you were facing and make some effort, as I think was alluded to earlier, to try and do an apples to apples. Ms. Carlson's online, and you know she may be able to answer that question. The two examples that you've pointed out both in comparison to a cash purchase price, illustrate that there are financing costs, illustrate that there are metrics that we just don't know enough about, interest rates, et cetera. We don't know what Janet Yellen's going to do, all of those things. But the purpose was to illustrate the fact that it is more expensive to finance, how much more, not entirely known, and you make a very good point. Were the legislature to want to do this, the legislature might want to look at 20, 25 years, something like that. And, of course, the total price would just keep getting larger because you're financing it over a period of time, and the annual cash flow price, I guess, would drop. Those numbers could be crunched, and I don't know Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you want Ms. Carlson to – I believe we've discussed that with her. She may be able to give you enough information, Representative Herron, to be helpful right now at the meeting.
Thank you. Serena, could you help us out here?
I would say that in the commercial world, you typically see buildings financed between 20 and 30 years, 20 being probably the most common in the current financing environment. So you would be looking at, if you were just an ordinary corporation going out and buying a building, you'd most likely get a 20-year loan, and you would pay interest over that 20-year period.
Pam, could you give us an idea? We did run everything on a 20-year basis and decided it's best to apples to apples, but could you give us a comparison, say, in scenario 2 and 3, what the cost would be if we were to go to a 20-year?
I'd be glad to. Probably so that the committee knows the total for all five. Let me just do all five. Number one would be $80,640,000. Number two would be that would be purchasing the building and doing the bonding through Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, $62,800,000.
And that's for a 20-year period, $62 million.
For a 20-year period. And number one was to continue our current lease. That was the $80 million. Number three is purchase the building and issue the certificates of participation. That was $51,037,600. A cash purchase of the $37,950,000 plus operating costs over a 20-year period is $55,950,000. Or moving to a state-owned Atwood building, $13,295,520.
Yes, Representative Herron.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it was important that that be explained, at least in my opinion, because in the early 80s, when I hardly had two nickels to rub together, my wife and I did take out a 30-year note for our home, which we still live in. But it was within, 7 years, we figured out that we should just refinance and go down to 15 years because I realized that my home would have paid two or three times over if I would have went the full 30 years. So I get this. But you see, the shock value of scenario 2 and 3, when you don't know the why we did the scenario, is important for the public to know. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good point. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator McKinnon.
I love the shock value of those numbers, but I would like to ask the square footage cost because that really was what we were trying to compare to. So on scenario 2 and 3 specifically, what's the square footage? And before you answer that, how long have we been in this particular facility renting already?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
First, the square footage. If we look at a 20-year, what is the square footage cost of scenario 2 and 3?
Right. But, Mr. Chairman, how long have we been renting here already?
Right.
It goes to what Representative Herron was saying. We have been in this location. There is some value, maybe not reflected in our lease payment right now, but there was some value to be located where we're located. Actually, just so that you know, Anchorage's Comprehensive Plan 2020 actually asked for government services to locate in the downtown area as part of their planning efforts.
So scenario number 2 is $6.46 a square foot, and that is looking at the – just a second, let me get number 2. And number 3 would be $5.38 a square foot.
And then, Mr. Chairman, how much did we pay in interest on the SLAM building?
How much do we pay in interest, what?
We don't have lease payments at that because that was a capital budget.
You're talking about the SLAM building in general?
So on scenario number four, if we purchase the building, and the reason I asked the question on how long we've already been here, if we amortize those costs of what we've been paying over how long we've been here and project that forward, what's the square footage cost then?
I need to rework that. I believe it's in the $4 range, but I can get that to you in a minute.
Mr. Chairman, I'm fine to look at those numbers later.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you know, I'm not a real estate person. I didn't serve on finance, but I would like to know what the square footage cost would be on any of these 10-year scenarios in 2026.
Are you in 2026? You mean with a new lease?
Just as is. In 2026, we would be paying, my understanding would be $525,000 for this building. What would the square footage cost be on that?
Well, it's probably similar to, let's see, number five. It's probably similar to scenario number five, which would probably be in the dollar, maybe $1.70 range.
Just so we bite the bullet for 10 years, and then after that, for 20 or 30 years, we pay $1.70?
Yes, but any maintenance costs.
Well, I understand
right,
that.
Right, right. Yeah. Above, you know, our normal electricity.
So this is, I guess my point, Mr. Chairman, is this is a really front-end loaded lease with the 10 years. And just between, maybe this should be executive session, but I'm going to say it anyway, I'm less interested in comparing apples to apples than I am comparing what's best for the state in the long run. And I want to look at all of these scenarios, and I don't think we have all of those scenarios in front of us right now, because in 2026, $1.70 plus maintenance is going to look really good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Further comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think one of the things I'd just like to add, though, is if we do option number five, we are in a situation where we are already at that point paying the $1.80 for the next 10 years, which is a significant savings to the state between now and year 10, when then, as an owned facility, we would drop down to the level of what the state is paying at the Atwood building.
Thank you, Representative.
And I, you know, I don't want to get in an argument. That's assuming the rent doesn't go up. And my point was for illustrative purposes only, that somewhere in the next 10 years, there's got to be a balance between the $7 and the $1.70 that we can come to, or not. But I think unless we look at that and look at that scenario as well as these five, I mean, we may have 10 scenarios here. And so I'm just not comfortable at this point with the information we have, because I think there are a lot of other options out there that we haven't really looked at, and we haven't looked at the long-term cost of the money. And I can't disagree with what Representative Keto said, but it's just a balance. So it was for illustrative purposes that I mentioned that.
Thank you. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're comparing all the scenarios to moving to the Atwood building because that appears to be the lowest cost, at least for tomorrow versus today. And so I'd like to ask the administration if they plan on building that out for free or whether there's going to be costs associated and charged to the legislature for the build-out. And that's the first question. And then we've heard it stated that it'll take 1 to 2 years to modify that space, and it's been sitting vacant somehow. Not sure where that request came from that we would ask anyone to hold office space open, but are we going? Is the state going to try to recoup then the cost of the that they would have received from the lease, from leasing that space somewhere else? So two things. Is the legislature going to pay for the cost to repurpose its own square footage? Will we be charged for any of the vacancy rate while that remodel is being done? And is there a relocation cost then for the people that might have to move out on behalf of us being able to move in?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I'll answer the part about the tenant improvements. That is at the bottom of scenario number five. We, all of the state agencies that are in the Atwood, when they remodel their space, they are responsible for their improvements, and we have $3.5 million there for tenant improvements.
Yeah, thank you. And Tansy, did you have some comments as well?
Yes, through the chair, Senator McKinnon. We did provide Ms. Varney with some cost to relocate if LIO needed to move out when the lease, when your lease here terminated. We identified some temporary spaces LIO could move to while the construction was being completed in the Atwood building to accommodate the 2.5 floors. We do not anticipate moving anybody out of the building to make room for LIO to move into the building.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator McKinnon, we have identified temporary space, and that total for a yearly cost would be $394,083. The McKinley building that is right across the street where we had our temporary space, there are four floors that are available and sitting vacant, $1.75 a square foot, $1.80 a square foot, $1.85, $1.95 as you go up. I guess they charge more for the higher floors. There's also by the Captain Cook Hotel, the Alaska Legal Center at 6th and K, there is quite a bit of square footage that is available there. So we would be able to relocate to that space at that total, that yearly total.
Mr. Chairman, that was an answer, but not to the question I asked. I asked in the Atwood building, if we were to enter into a lease arrangement to build out the space for us, would there be square footage costs for the time that the improvements were made? And on top of that, would there be, if somehow someone has led the administration to believe you should just hold this open for us and not rent the space right now, are you going to try to recoup the cost of it sitting vacant for the year? So during the build-out, would the legislature be charged for the square footage over at the Atwood building? That's what we were charged here, I believe. We were paying rent while that was done.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we would need to confirm with the administration, but it's been the practice that you would start paying rent the day you start physically occupying.
That sounds like a good business practice.
Thank you. Further comments. I know it's got to be really confusing to move as rapidly between these scenarios and back and forth and back and forth. I know it's really confusing, but I do have a question on scenario number four. Was your question as well, Senator Machi, on scenario four?
No, I have another question when you can get to me, Mr. Chairman.
Let me just ask this then. And Ms. Varney, I did ask Ms. Varney about the problems we've encountered in this building. And under scenario number four, if we purchase it, What problems are we buying? What problems will we wind up with that have not been solved to date? And we would be then responsible, I assume we'd be responsible for taking care of those problems.
Through the, Senator Stevens, we've had quite a few building pressurization problems that causes the front doors and the door to the parking lot to not close. We did have glass outside window shatter on the fifth floor that took 7 weeks to be replaced. We have had quite a few complaints on noise transmission between the offices, also noise transmission on the first floor between the ABC conference rooms. Water bottle filling stations can't work with cups, multiple sidewalk ramp to garage deck heat failures, complaint from next-door neighbor of ice buildup onto their property. Multiple door hold opens in offices requiring multiple repairs throughout the building. We had a large water leak in suite 216 with a frozen radiator. Roof leaks into a suite on the sixth floor, multiple roof leaks. Temperature control problems. False alarms with the fire protection system, generator not shutting off when the power restored to the building, HVAC problems in the server room, battery failures in the auto trash cans, faucets, soap dispensers, multiple elevator errors, drain traps dry, cause sewage smells, proximity card system problems, glass canopy at the front entrance, water problems. Maintenance checks on our HVAC system, saying our system is very inefficient, that the heat and cooling are kind of chasing each other and running simultaneously, in some cases applying heat and cooling at most of the time. So, just, you know, to let you know, we will have, you know, continuous maintenance problems, and that's why we looked at adding a building maintenance person. Also in our current lease, it says that they will not do any painting for 10 years, and we do know that, you know, offices move or people want, you know, painting done. So that is why we looked at adding a building maintenance person.
Thank you. And one issue that sort of annoyed me is we had an executive session in this room for the Ethics Committee, and people in the hallway could hear what we were talking about. Is that something fixable? Is that something we could fix, or would it be expensive? I assume it would be. Any reflection on that? I mean, this room is not soundproof.
Mr. Chairman, we have not looked into trying to fix that, so I don't know if we would be able to do that or not.
Okay, thank you.
We have glass. The glass doors might have something to do with it.
Right. It doesn't make for a good executive session if people hear you in the hallway. Senator Machi.
So my understanding, Mr. Chairman, is this building is on a warranty. Have we approached the owner of the building to correct those issues?
Well, it's ongoing. I don't know if you know, we can have him, instead of having water, have actual drinking fountains put in, or all the door closures, if there's a different type of hardware. I know that Mike Rendez had, you know, problems with the key locking system, that, you know, if we could get a higher quality. You know, there's just, we are, you know, pretty soon, it'll be January, and those warranty, that warranty date will be up. So I don't know.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, back to my other question.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
You know, I don't have a predetermined objective on location, and I don't have an agenda about where we go. I have one consideration, and that's competitiveness on a cost per square foot basis, but I want that basis to be compared apples to apples, and I don't think we have that today, Mr. Chairman. My question is, what is your timeline? Are you considering a smaller task force that helps to get some of these scenarios on the table. And I'll tell you, I don't know that we've processed these numbers to the point of looking at a unit cost that vary between $5.18 in Barrow to something less in most other locations. Have we processed our scenarios to the point? Well, we have not processed our scenarios to the point of where we understand if we can get this location down to a competitive per square foot basis. So back to my original question. Are you thinking about a task force that gets better numbers, some of these questions to where we can make a decision? And I mean, I can tell you that if we can't get more competitive, then it's clear that this is a space that is not putting the legislature on lower cost operating priorities, if you will. But I'm not sure that we've looked at all those scenarios. What is your timeline, and how do you think that we could get there here in the next few weeks, if you will?
It's a timeline that really concerns me. We have several issues we're facing in time. One is that we've negotiated, Serena Carlson and others negotiated a price for Mr. Pfeffer that purchase price is good through the end of January. Is that right? And so that's one timeline that we have. Another timeline that concerns many of you around the table, Senator McKinnon probably more than most, is that we need to make a request. We need to put something in the budget, and we don't know what to put in the budget. We need to send finance a budget request. And what is that going to be that then you have to deal with? And remember, what we're making is a recommendation. And frankly, the ball stops at the Finance Committee and at the legislature to decide how we're going to pay for all that. I'm concerned, about the Atwood building, if that's a serious consideration that we're making. We could dawdle our way through this and find ourselves in the same place we did with the Nana building, that we've waited too long and no longer is that space available. And as Senator McKinnon has said, at some point they should, and we would expect them to begin looking, if we're not ready to make a decision, begin looking at other tenants in that building. So I've got to honestly say, in working with the prior chair, his options were very, very limited. He did not have the option of going to the Atwood Center as we do now. There are others that were involved in trying to negotiate with the administration on that, and it was simply not a possibility as I understand it. So I'm really concerned about those timelines, and I think it really puts us under the gun. We can keep fighting and arguing and kicking this can down the road. We've already done it for 10 years that I've been involved. We can keep doing another 10 years, I suppose, and just stay right here. That's an option. Stay right here. I guess to fully answer your question about the price of the building, I think we need to hear from Serena again, because I was set in on some of those meetings with her, as did Doug, as did Pam and Katrina on my staff. I sat in on those negotiations, but some of them we were not privy to. It was my decision to hire an expert to do this. I'm a history professor. What do I know about negotiating a contract? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be put in that position, and I won't be put in that position. So we hired Serena to do that for us. She went back and forth on various prices and wound up at this $37,950,000. Doug, can we talk about what took place in those negotiations with Mr. Pfeffer?
Senator Stevens, it's the chair's decision on the scope of how you want to handle things. One of the comments and the note that I was asking your chief of staff to pass you is we've got Ms. Carlson and Peter Charette from Keeter Matthews, who can probably answer a lot of these questions. They're online. Mr. Charette needs to catch a ferry. We're paying him by the hour, and I'd really like it you know, obviously it's the chair's prerogative, but at some point we need, I think the members need to get this information.
Yes.
And these are the kinds of questions that I think can be very fluidly answered in an executive session. They can be answered here if you would like. It's just up to you.
I'm again concerned about too much in the public eye. I mean, there are some legal issues here. I take what you have said, Doug.
We are in litigation right now with Mr. Gottstein. There's overlap with these issues. There's overlap with he's made claims against us. The issue of the lease and an appropriation is clearly a legal question and a money question. And you know, my recommendation is that the member, as I said in answer to Senator Michiki's question, that you receive that information and then you choose how you want to relate it. But it will enable you to ask a lot more questions in executive session. And I would comment that to the extent that I'm answering those questions or Serena Carlson is, that's legal advice to the council, which you have traditionally received in an executive session.
Thank you. I appreciate your reminding. I've asked Doug to give me a high sign if we were straying into an area that should not be in the public. And so we'll take Senator McKinnon's question, but then very quickly I want to move into executive session and have a chance to talk with Peter Charette and Serena Carlson, who will not be available soon. So, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, again, just to keep the record accurate, we just went through a litany of or a laundry list of problems with this current building. And so I was wondering who managed the project. How did we get a sound system that is louder than the walls? And my understanding is that the state of Alaska took over the technical aspects of the sound systems that we're currently utilizing.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, probably Julie Lucky could answer that, but I think I can. I believe Chariot Group was hired to recommend equipment for this room, and so that is the answer.
If I might follow up, Ms. Varney, does that mean the state of Alaska is the one who put the equipment in? Because I don't know who you just referred to.
The state of Alaska did not put the equipment in. It was the Chariot Group that put the equipment in.
Did the state of Alaska pick what was getting put in? My understanding is we chose the system to energize this particular area.
I don't know the answer to that, and I can get that for you later.
Thank you. The only other question I have, Mr. Chairman, is that when we come out of executive session, I hope that we'll have time or at least a number to share with the people of Alaska about the cost of litigation in reference to any of the scenarios that have been put in front of us.
My intention is that during executive session you will be appraised of the potential costs of litigation.
Terrific.
Whether we want to share that in the public meeting or not is up to you.
If I have the number, that's helpful. And when we go into executive session then, since I've sat on the outside of that room and could hear what was being said here, do we have a divider then behind the wall so that we are actually in executive session?
We don't, but we'll ask Mike to try to keep folks away from these doors.
Thank you.
Mike Arenda. Okay. Then if we could go to our executive session, please, I do want to get to these two speakers before we lose them. So
thank you,
Mr.
Chairman
Johnson.
I've had requests that we take if we could get like 5 or 10 minutes before we go into executive session. It's been requested from some of the legislators in the audience, and if we could just have 5 or 10 minutes, I'd appreciate it.
Well, maybe 3 minutes, and make it fast, and because it's going to take us a little while to do the transfer right from Katrina from this to an executive session. So I'll call you back as soon as that's ready, so please keep it as brief as you can. And before we go, I need to have a motion from Representative Herron.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters, the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit, and 22B3, discussion of a matter that may, by law, be required to be confidential. I ask that the following individuals remain in the room: Doug Gardner, Pam Varney, Katrina Matheny, Linda Hay, and legislative staff for any Ledge Council member, and that Serena Carlson and Peter Charette be online. We also welcome any legislators that are not on Legislative Council to remain on the room or online.
Pam, I'm going to ask you to do a roll call. Can you come up here quickly? So the motion is to go into an executive session.
Mr. Chairman,
Can we take care of this, Senator? Go ahead.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Herron.
Yes.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault. Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Kito.
Yes.
9 members. Yay.
9? Okay. Thank you. Before we go into executive session, Senator Machicki, did you have a comment?
Well, it's too late, Mr. Chairman. I was going to request that Ms. Mintz was allowed to stay as well.
I think she has other commitments. Ms. Mintz. Yeah. We'll make that change and add her to the executive session. All right. Well, we are now in recess until we come back together for the executive session. Okay, we're all set. We're coming back into session. We had an executive session. No action was taken. We will now go to a motion by Representative Herron. Where did that come from? Representative Herron.
You're going way back.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council authorize the Legal Services Division to represent and defend the Alaska Legislature and a former Alaska legislator sued in the legislator's official capacity in Patterson versus Governor Bill Walker et al. 1JU-15-692CI, and to report to counsel during the litigation as requested by the chairman regarding the progress of the case.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on that motion? Roll call, please, on the motion.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Herron.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
I don't know, but yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Kito.
Yes.
8 yeas.
Thank you. We have 8 votes, and the motion passed, and we're adjourned.